I want to read a few verses tonight from Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew chapter 25, and we're going down to verse 14. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. Thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put thy money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This parable is one really concerning money. Now, do you notice it's the parable that follows after the 10 virgins? And you know the story of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 foolish. They all looked alike. They all talked alike. They all had seemingly outwardly the same desires. But 5 were wise and 5 foolish. 5 entered into heaven and 5 were shut out. And here we come to the second parable, and it's easy understood, as I said, money. We all understand money. I'm not sure, it doesn't say if it was a talent of silver or a talent of gold, but a talent of silver. I looked up and it seems to be worth about $1 million. What's that, 850,000 sterling, roughly. And the man with 1 talent had $1 million. And the man with 5 talents had $5 million. And here we have this wonderful picture of the 3 of them, the 5, the 2, and the 1, all signing up to be servants. We want to serve you, Lord. We want to work for you. As you go away, we're going to serve you. It's like a young man or young girl signing up for an apprenticeship, isn't it? They go along and she says, I want to be a nurse. She signs up to be a nurse. He wants to be an electrician. And there's a boy and he signs up to be an electrician and he works hard. He goes to the tech. He gets his exams. He becomes a grade A electrician. And the people phone him up and say, would you come and wire my house? Would you come and fix my factory? There's the plumber and he serves his time and he does well. And if he gets a call out late at night, he arrives happy. Happy to do his work, enjoy his work. Happy to be a good quality tradesman. There's the nurse, gets up in the morning, goes off to hospital to work and to enjoy working with the patients. But there's others, and they go to serve their apprenticeship, and they're lazy, they're careless, they come in late, they go home early, they go out on their mobile phone, they stand outside, they sit inside, they do anything but work. They're sent along to the tech to do exams, but that's just a day off for them, and they finish up what we would term a failure. They apply for a job, and they get a job a day or two, and then they're asked to leave. Nobody really wants to employ them. But here's a man, and we see that he trusts his servants, says there, with his goods. Here's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ going away, and the Lord Jesus Christ trusts us with his church. It's a picture. We, his servants, created by God, made by God, and he comes along and he asks for volunteers to run his church. Now, we have today in many churches people who are saved and people who are unsaved. People from various backgrounds coming in to run churches. And here we have the church. And you'll know a worker by his love, not just for the church, but his love for his master. And we're trusted with this wonderful work of building the church to reach out to others that they might be taken out of the devil's family and brought into the Savior's family. Three church volunteers we see here. Outwardly they profess salvation. Outwardly they profess service. Outwardly they profess to do a work for God. To do well. And one doesn't do well because, why? Why does he not do well? Well, his heart is not in it. His heart's not in it. You go down to our shops, our factories, our farms, and you can see people who love their master and love the work. I'm thinking one man, and he phoned the boss one day, and he says, look, boss, if you're not making money, you let me know, and I'll work harder. Not many like that today. If you're not making money, let me know till I get an easier job somewhere, go back on the DLA or whatever is going. Here's one man and his heart's not in the work. His love is not in the work. They seem all to have health and strength and ability and all the rest of it for some sort of service, but his heart's not in the work. Can I tell you something, young girls? You older girls understand this. You young girls, if you can get your boyfriend's heart, you'll get his wallet, you'll get his car, you'll get money, you'll get everything. You older women learned that, didn't you? Some of you learned it too late, mind you. But if we get someone's heart, we get everything. And if the Lord Jesus Christ gets the heart of you and me, he'll get your money, he'll get your house, he'll get everything. He'll get your talents. Oh, you say, well, I haven't much talent. Well, he has trusted us with the work of the gospel, the church. And we are humans and we are asked to build the church. And he says, I've given you talent. Everybody that's created by God should serve him, yes. And everybody that's created by God should love his son. But that's not the case. We have many people and they say, well, I'm a Christian. You go up around where we live and you talk to people and you say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not a Hindu. I'm nothing like that. We're Christians. You go to some of these other countries and you speak, and what are you? I'm a Christian. I don't worship Buddha or anything like that. I'm a Christian. But where does our love lie? What do we really love? You and I have some talent. Even if it's only cooking a burger or burning a sausage. I think of one man I know, and you say, ah, he hasn't much talent. No, he hasn't, but he bakes bread. He loves to bake wheaten loaves. Every weekend, not every weekend, but some often, he bakes a number of half a dozen wheaten loaves, and he'd wrap them up in paper, and he'd go down and he'd visit this woman, and he'd go in and chat to them and give them a wee loaf. Go to someone else, visit, give them a loaf. A wee boy whose home he visited was a wee drug addict. He said, Mommy, I like William visiting. He's so kind, he leaves you a loaf. I like him visiting. That wee boy got saved one night. But some weeks later, his friends got him. He had his lunch made up for work the next day, but his friends, the old friends, called. They took him round the house. They got him the next morning, dead, overdosed with tablets, naked, his clothes were taken from him. Even his own friends stole his clothes. Talent. The wee boy loved William because he came round to see him. Give him a wee loaf. You've got brains, you've health, you've strength. Tell me, who do you love? Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? We were in the Philippines once. Well, we've been there a few times. And then Noel says, Morris, we're going for a meeting, a children's meeting. Get a story. Get yourself organized this afternoon. We went round to see this lady's house. He said, you know, this wee woman lives over in the wee shack. And she said, I want to bring in the boys and girls. Uncle Noel, you come and teach them Jesus. We went round and we went in and the floor was just old broken brick and cement broken pieces for a floor. An old tarpaulin hanging. I remember it well, for it was full of water. She had a wee bit of a stick burning in the corner. That was her fireplace. That was her stove. She had a wee bag of olive oil to cook on in an old burnt frying pan. And she said, I want to see my children saved. Bring them into my house out of the rain that they might get saved. We're living in beautiful houses, friend. We have carpet, we have luxuries, we have everything. We have microwaves, we have air fryers even. And we wouldn't have a children's meeting in the house. Why? Because they would disturb our lovely little house. They'd leave crisps on the floor and all the rest of it. And the days of house children's meetings have disappeared. Mary Slessor was saved in a house meeting in Aberdeen. I go along there to that house where we called one night way up in the Philippines. It was getting late. And the wee pastor says, Noel, you not go home too long, too late to travel. You stay here. Mr. and Mrs. Baxter, come. Here, you take my bed. There's so many things. Young, strong, carry Bibles into China. Oh, no. Take a Bible. I'm not talking about feeding drunk people or anything like that. I'm talking about going to God's people. You say, but what can I do? I don't have much talent. I've mentioned this before. Willie and Annie got saved in our church down in Mullaglass. They were late in life getting saved. And when they had a night of any sort, Willie would go around with a plastic bag and he'd gather up all the cups and papers and hello and how are you? And he talked to everybody. Everybody knew Willie. Gathered up all the papers. Afterwards, the hoover out and he cleaned up. Annie, she stayed in the kitchen. She stood and washed the dishes. And then you'd hear Annie saying, right, everybody out. I'm going to mop the floor. Go on, home you go. And she mopped the floor. And boy, they're missed. Oh, we could go through. What about Martin Luther? What about the man with the five talents, Martin Luther? Willie and Annie with one talent. You and I, we may not have many talents, but oh, wars are not won by great soldiers of talent. Five talents, two talents, one talent, 20 years' wages, health, work, value. You've got wonderful things. You've got a brain, you've got hands, feet. We can serve the Lord. You've got some form of ability, some form of education. But your heart needs to be in the work, friend. Your heart needs to be in the work. It's not just a love for the work. It's not just love that Noreen has for the children. It's a love for her master. If I only had a work for the Free Presbyterian Church, I'd probably been away years ago. If you have a work for the Lord, a love for the Lord, our Savior, our Creator, His Son, our heart is right with God. Qualified, then you're able to work. One servant here didn't have the proper qualifications. Lord, I want to serve you. It's hard work, but it's good work. It's a rewarding work. Oh, now, reverence, if I had more talent. If you had more talent, you would be accountable for more. Yeah. If you have five talents, you're accountable for five talents. If you have two talents, one talent. Oh, my. If you would just take that little bit of talent you have and dedicate it to the God of heaven, and God will enable you to do what you will be surprised you can do. Yeah. He will surprise you in what you're able to do. We sang that hymn there. It was a good job. I made a mistake. Who wrote the hymn? Did anybody notice who wrote the hymn? Yes? Fanny Crosby. What happened to Fanny Crosby? Fanny Crosby was a wee girl growing up with her eyesight and everything just like a perfectly young child. And she went to a doctor and he treated her eyes with the wrong medicines. And she lost her eyesight. Now, she could have been a difficult child, but she wasn't. She could have said, well, he's to blame for my eyesight. Why did God allow this? She could have been arguing with the doctor. She could have argued with her mother and father. She could have argued with the God himself. But she didn't. What she had left, she dedicated it to her Savior. And when she was in her 90s, they took her to speak at various meetings, and the hall wouldn't hold the crowd. She wasn't bitter, friend. Did you ever meet someone that's bitter? Oh, brought up in the vineyard, and all they produced was sour grapes. I see the Old Testament temple when they built it. Every stone, every piece of wood had its place. I look at the New Testament church. Every stone, every person has its place. And we've got to serve the Lord. You can profess to be a Christian and not be saved. You can profess to be a Christian and be an absolute failure. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has traveled away. He's trusted us with his church. He's given us talents. He said, I'm traveling away to a far country and I'll be back. The great parable of the 10 virgins is the second coming. The great parable that he's teaching here is the second coming. He's gone away. He said, I've gone away to prepare a place for you. Can you not do some service for me until I come back? Can you do whatever that little bit of talent you have, will you dedicate it to me? Oh, but Lord, I don't know if I'll ever be a success. The Lord says, he's a success. He said, I will build my church. I'm giving you a job in a church that is a success. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will bring them from the north, south, east, and west, and they'll sit down with Abraham and Isaac. Other businesses may fail, but he says, my church is worldwide. I have a covenant, as we said this morning, a covenant with God's salvation. All the 10 virgins, they looked alike, but 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. I look down here tonight in this little congregation, and I don't know the difference between you and who's saved, who's not. Who's serving the Lord? Who's just serving themselves? Who's just serving their families? But you know, and the Lord knows. And the Lord said, I want you to trade for me. I want you to work for me. I've given you talent. It says in verse 18 that one went and digged in the earth and he hid his Lord's money. It took more work to dig and hide the money than go to the bank. Oh, to go and trade for the Lord. Use it for yourself. Use your health and strength and money and everything just for yourself. Or use it for the Lord's service. Is it all just an outward show? Sunday you're as Christian as you walk into church and that's it all over. Where's your heart, friend? Heart of love. A love for God, the one who put the sun in the sky. The one who gave his son to be our Savior. A love for God, a love for the Savior. And then we come for a love for the church and a love for the perishing. A love for your own family that are not saved. A love for the wee boys and girls in Africa. Wee boys and girls that come into Sunday school here. You see, love is something that we can feel. We can't see it, but we can feel it. As I said, brought up in the church, in the vineyard, and all you do is produce sour grapes. Oh, but I don't have much talent. That's no excuse. Don't start making excuses. If I could sing, if I could be better educated. If I was only working in Uganda, I could be a great success. No, you start at home, friend. We make excuses. Do you see the timing of this? The day will end. He's asked us to trade when? Oh, well, when I get a bit older. It's all right for you, Reverend Baxter. You're retired now, and sure, you can go out and do burgers and do whatever you like now you're retired. But, friend, it's not like that. We have our time of service. And then the time of service ends. And the Lord calls us up to meet him. Yeah. You read Pilgrim's Progress. I like reading Bunyan. And after Pilgrim left the city of destruction, everybody he met, and where are you going, Pilgrim? I'm going to the celestial city. Wouldn't that make some change if I did that tomorrow? Where are you going today, Morris? I'm going to the celestial city. What are you talking about? What a desire to get to that great celestial city to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You remember the first time you did a wee job in the house and your mommy says, my dear, that's a good job. Remember the day you helped your dad and your dad says, boy, that's a good job, son. Remember you went out and you worked in the factory or you worked in the office and the boss comes in and says, boy, you surprised me. You've done a good job. Well done. What's it not going to be like when we stand before God and he says, you've been faithful. You were in Kilkeel Church and you've been faithful. You were a Sunday school teacher and you were faithful. Remember, you weren't very bright and they give you a wee job and you were faithful. Remember the first day you hoovered the church? Well done. Well done. From God himself. You've been a good servant. You're trustworthy. I've got a reward for you. First one is, well done, good and faithful servant. And then he says, enter into the joy of the Lord. That must be something. My, that must be something. John Bunyan said, after he crossed the river of death, he was going up the mountain of Zion. And he looked and the heaven's gates was open and he could see the choir singing. And they all were coming out through the gates of glory. And the music and the brightness. He couldn't understand all the jewels and the pearls. And he looked round to see who was the very important person they were welcoming into heaven. And he said, it's me. It's me. Well done. Good and faithful. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The joy today of service. By the way, there's a look. To hear a man say, I helped him find the Savior. What a joy. To meet those people the other day coming, a wee woman saying, remember the night I got saved, Morris? The other boy says, remember the last time you and I were in this church? That was the night I got saved. The other big fella says, remember down in the south of Ireland? Yeah, people can get saved, by the way, in the south of Ireland. Did you know that? He says, remember the night I got saved? He says, wait, I tell you something. I've been out visiting missionaries at least 22 times since that. The joy of serving the Lord. The joy of the fulfillment of a good day's work. I don't know if any of you like painting or anything like painting houses. And a wee woman says to me, Morris, would you paint my sitting room? Aye. You go in and you prepare it, you fill all the cracks and you rub it down and you get what colour of paint she wants and you put the first coat on. She comes in and says, aye, that looks not too bad. I need another wee coat. And you go around it and you give it the second coat and you look back and you say, boy, that looks well. The fulfillment of a day's work. The joy of the Lord giving us the privilege of entering into his joy. Now, our joy comes and ebbs and flows. But entering into a permanent joy, eternal joy, the joy, a gift from God. Oh, friend, what company's in heaven? Remember the man with the 5 talents? I think of the high priest in the Old Testament. He must have been talented. But what about the wee Levite that come in the morning and chopped the sticks and lit the fire under the altar, took the ashes out. One talent. One day you and I will stand before God and we'll give our account. We'll settle with God. We'll settle with God. The God who created all things. There's no escaping that day. The person that calls himself a Christian, I say, where's your heart? A very able person. Very able to get on in the world's goods. I see that in churches, you know. People who are able to get on in the world and get on in business. And very educated. But not much good to God's service. People earning huge money. And yet withal, when it comes to a special offering, you'd put more diesel in your car than you would put on the offering plate. And this one servant, he was unfaithful. He saw no joy in God's service. He saw no importance in God's service. He had no heart for his master's service, his creator's service. He had no love for the Savior. He hadn't his sins forgiven. And he loses everything. He lost all that he had, plus heaven. Plus heaven. Oh, friend, one day there's a day of accounts. A day of settlement. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Morris, enter into the joy of the Lord. What a day. What will you hear? What will you hear? What did it say there? And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's unprofitable. He's not saved. Any little bit of light that he's dwelling in, take him and put him out into the darkness. There's no evidence of salvation. There's no proof of salvation. There's no mark of salvation. My, when old Bunyan got to the cross, he had sins forgiven. He got a robe. He got a mark on his forehead. And he got the scroll of assurance. And I look at the Christian and I say, tell me, have you got the robe of Christ's righteousness? Have you got the scroll of eternal life? Have you got the mark of holiness upon you? Are your sins forgiven? Are you on your way to the celestial city? If you've got evidence, friend, of salvation, that's wonderful. It doesn't matter what the minister says at your funeral. Oh, so many ministers, and everybody's buried in a sure and certain hope of a glorious resurrection. But without the Savior, friend, without the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll perish. Wouldn't it be something to be brought up in Kilkeel Church here, brought up here, heard the gospel, and you know not the Savior? There's we boys and girls, we heard about Uganda, and they're hearing the gospel for the first time. And the wee critters come up with their wee black faces and the tears running down their cheeks. And they say, I want off the broad road. I want to be saved. And when the great day comes and the Lord Jesus Christ calls the vast multitudes from earth to heaven unto the day of judgment, and the Lord says, you, wee boy, you were brought up in Uganda. Remember the day you were saved. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He says, see, you're from Kilkeel. I know you not. Cast them into outer darkness. Friend, you have a choice tonight. You have a choice tonight to make. Oh, be saved. His grace is free. Oh, be saved. He died for thee. Trust him tonight. It's the best life. You say, I don't have much talent. Praise the Lord. Whatever wee bit of talent you have, he'll take it and he'll encourage you and he'll use you and you can multiply that talent. Well done, good and faithful servant. enter into the joy of the Lord. Father, we thank thee for the blessings of today and for thy presence. We thank thee for even all that you mean to us tonight. Looking back down the years, we rejoice, and here and there, people getting saved. Blessed tonight. Oh God, that thou wilt do a work in hearts tonight. Maybe there's one and they're brought up in a Christian home. People look upon them as if they're saved. They made a profession to get the tension broken, to get the pressure off. Oh God, may they come to thee, settle that account, know the joy of sins forgiven, that they might give their heart to thee. Oh, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, take sin away. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Take us our way in safety tonight, Lord. Bless those that are sick and lonely and brokenhearted. In Jesus' name, amen.